Please do the intro.
I could do it.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your look of surrealist by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty and crispy 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it? MK, James, Michael, and me.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
I feel it.
Absolutely. Yay.
Feels
and good. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
Woo.
Right
so
on.
Tell the people what they've won tonight, Michael.
They've won police being in the business of getting addicts off drugs, which sounds like a horrible idea to me, actually.
Huh. I agree.
We'll talk about that more later. But James Babb, will you give us a storm report? You are in the middle, near Philadelphia, you're in the middle of Stormy the Death Dealer, or the Snowpocalypse, the, what are the other names they're using for that thing there? And Steve Miller
Miller. Oh, I don't know.
Steve Miller Miller's not on tonight. I talked to him earlier today. He said he thought he could be on tonight, but his internet was kind of jammed up because all his neighbors were snowed in using Netflix.
Right. Well, also, like, a glacier has descended over Kensington and has just crushed everything, so...
Yeah.
Well, something else. His internet was out, and they sent a large Asian man to repair it, and it, for some reason, is backed up, and it's going to be a couple days before the servicing is finished.
I see. Okay. Speaking of men, manly men among men who are manly in their manliness among men, I talked to Derek J tonight. He's going to be back on the Fiends starting a week from tonight. He's been not on for about 4 months, and
awesome.
He's living in Uruguay, which is what I call Uruguay. It's what Homer
says. Where they have gas stations called ANCAP. They've got ANCAP gas stations.
That's awesome. Yeah,
the really ironic thing about that is the state-run gas petrol company, and it's the monopoly, and it's called ANCAP.
Don't they also, isn't that the same company, ANCAP, though? That is the same institution that sells weed there, I think, right?
I don't know.
Isn't that where they have legal weed, but it's only from the government?
I don't know. Sounds horrifying.
Yeah, that is something that happens there. Yeah.
So so maybe ANCAP has like weed stations too. That could be like, you know, you stop in for gasoline, and you know, but it is it's like a state, like they just nationalized weed basically. A lot of people thought that was a good idea. I'm not just so sure.
You know. When government gets involved in anything, it's horrible. I'm actually, you know, I'm wondering if I need to take off my ANCAP Bobcat badge because I've actually been helping a politician in Wyoming pass a law, which is not something I go out of my way to do. But this cat is cool. He's, he's kind of like the Ron Paul of Wyoming. There's two or three of them out of, you know, 150 state reps and state congressmen, but and state senators, but he's, he's got the right, he's got the, you know, as politicians go, he's got the correct answer on everything, like literally everything other than, you know.
Then I'm resigning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should I resign?
Yeah. But he's, so you probably know about this, MK, like, Coinbase and a few other, Bitcoin exchanges stopped doing business in Wyoming. Do you know about this?
That's right. Ooh. Yeah, they passed some pretty stringent heinous regulations there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here in New York, you know, and it's like, so
yeah,
any other states, or is that it, those two?
Those tend to be the worst right now. There are a few other places that, for instance, we just added buy and sell in the Airbits app, and there are a few states that aren't covered yet. Because Glidera is still going through the regulatory process. So most places you can buy and sell, or maybe just buy, or maybe just sell. And then there are a few, like, you know, Wyoming and Florida is one of them too. That's taking a little slower on the regulatory stuff.
Yeah. And the thing is, in New York, the lawmakers understand what Bitcoin is and decided it needs regulating heavily. In Wyoming, yeah. I think they're just afraid of it. I don't think they understand it.
I'm surprised they even know about it in Wyoming.
That's right. I think there are three people using it here. It's the lowest, according to Overstock.com, we're not only the lowest number of people in a state population, but it's also the lowest use of Bitcoin per capita.
Shouldn't they be more scared of like coyotes or something?
Yes,
I mean, like seriously, wolves. They're worried about Bitcoin in Wyoming. Yeah. They're like, we're going to do something about the cryptocurrency threat. Yeah. All the kids are using it. It's out of control. We got to do something.
They're not all using it. I think it's me and then like two people at the college at Laramie probably. So
are the kids injecting the Bitcoin?
Yes, they're smoking it with Jenkum.
Oh, man. You never freebase the Bitcoin. Oh, goodness.
So this guy, I'm not going to name him, and he's not the state rep that shoots cats. He's a different state rep. He's a good guy.
Oh, good.
Thank God for that.
And he asked me a bunch of questions about it, and he actually, like, it was me posting about Bitcoin on Facebook that made him interested in it. So I guess, you know, Ian Freeman's like to everybody, like, you can't just sit on your computer. You need to go out and do activism. And I guess if you sit in front of your computer long enough, something becomes activism. So I posted about it. This guy contacted me, and I've been going back and forth with him on what the talking point should be when he brings up his new bill to counteract that other bill. You know, and one of them, there's a couple that are kind of funny, too. A couple of them are solid, you know, like, what if they say it could be used to fund terrorism? I'm like soaking $100 bills, blah, blah, blah. All the usual answers that he wouldn't think of, but are good. And then I said a couple. One is like, you know, do you Wyoming Republicans who claim to be small government really want to be in a group of two with lawmakers from New Yorkistan? That's going to be one of the ones.
That's kind of a low blow, but probably effective.
Yeah. And the other one of the other, and then there's like a really thing that could backfire, but basically I'm saying, you know, if they say Bitcoin is dangerous, they shouldn't heavily regulate it. They should outlaw it if they really think it's that dangerous. And here's my thinking. If they outlaw it, there's going to be so much backlash internationally. It's just going to make Wyoming look retarded.
No, because
there's no way to really stop it anyway.
Because it's already
Bitcoin will disappear just like marijuana and meth and cocaine and heroin. Because once the government casts that magic spell of good behavior on people, they're absolutely powerless.
Yeah, and they'll set up border patrol at the Colorado border to keep Bitcoin out like they do with weed now.
Well, you know what? They would never outlaw it outright because that would make them look stupid and authoritarian.
Yeah. They might, though.
There's very few politicians afraid of that.
Yeah.
There's politicians here that have tried to pass laws against Sharia law, which is not a threat in any way here.
What? Yeah, maybe just say, look, why don't we just say, Sharia law bans Bitcoin, and therefore, since you're against Sharia law, Bitcoin must be legal.
You know, when I look on Davi or Will's page. Like the most common thing I see of their Muslim friends arguing with them is about is Bitcoin, you know, like usable or not, according
to it halal?
Isn't there like a gold or silver like requirement for business transactions? I don't know. Is that a religious thing or just a cultural thing?
But there's a whole lot of Muslims who just like are terrified of Bitcoin because they, you know,
it's haram.
Yeah. And, you know, the Wyoming politicians probably think we need to outlaw Bitcoin because Muslim terrorists will use it to fund terrorism. I'm like, no, they won't. Muslims just seem to hate it, man, as far as I can tell. I think there's two that use it.
Yeah, the politicians need to be reminded that this is something that they can use, too, to buy, you know, the things that they like with it, hookers and blow or whatever it is they enjoy doing. So Bitcoin's for everyone.
One of the other big arguments I gave him to give, and I'm not going to name him or read the whole thing or anything. The vote is next month on this thing. After the vote, I'm going to have him on the Fiends for the full show because he also was in the room when Dick Cheney came in and got Ron Paul kicked off the ballot in Wyoming in something that was somewhere between a violation of GOP bylaws and a crime, and it wasn't.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Michael. You forget this show's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. His sound will bounce off Fiend phone. It will not. it's not compatible.
No, I'll issue a libertarian indulgence for the day to him.
So he can be on. It better be a strong one.
But yeah. I told him he's my favorite government thug now that Ron Paul retired, and he likes that and wants me to introduce him that. So any politician that can be introduced as that, I think, can get a libertarian indulgence. So to bring this around, to set it up for
can
the
next... Can I be on that night?
Yeah, I want to have one other person on. So,
oh, sweet.
So, you want to question, you want to talk
Luke can
to me.
Luke can handle him.
Yeah.
Waterboard him.
Well, it's going to be, yeah. So anyway, it's going to be a weekend show. So anyway, dealing with trying to help this guy get a law passed to undo a bad law in this state is so mind-breaking to me. It's like, this is why I don't do, you know, and I just keep thinking, like, why does all this energy have to go into something to undo something that never should have been written in the first place?
Tell me more about exactly what they outlawed. I wonder, what exactly did they outlaw?
Well, they outlawed, having companies. Well, it's written so broadly, it possibly could outlaw an individual using Bitcoin, but it's not clear because the laws here are badly written. They're not written by lobbyists. They're not written by attorneys.
It's easier to enforce broadly that way.
They're written by ranchers. They're all ranchist leaders here. So they don't know how to write a law.
It's subject to the interpretation of the interpreters.
Right.
So it all depends on who the interpreter is that day.
What it really bans is Bitcoin exchanges anywhere in the world doing business in Wyoming unless they have the amount of... Basically, they have to have twice as much money on hand. Like if they do a $200 Bitcoin transaction, they have to have $200 worth of Bitcoin and cash on hand.
Yes.
It's just, it's something nobody's willing to do.
That's like the legal...
How is this enforced and monitored and et cetera?
That's where the legal reserve requirements for insurance companies.
Yeah, but it's actually it's an update on a law from 10 years ago that was to prevent like Western Union from operating in Wyoming, you know? Or easily operating in Wyoming.
It was to protect the Pony Express, which was still the preferred way to deliver money out there, right?
Yeah, it was to protect the sheep. So, literally, the sheep.
The carrier pigeon lobby is strong.
Yeah. So basically, like, you know, dipping my toe in politics by accident for a minute just made me go,
it's horrible.
And it makes me think about what we're going to talk about in the next segment, which is cops getting involved in the business of rehabilitating drug addicts, which, you know, it's better than beating them over the head and shooting them, but it's not really. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm an ex-addict, so I have a lot to say about it. Worms.
All right. Worms.
Worms! If cops were the only road to recovery, I'd be dead.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Freedom Fiends. And Pentagon held a gala today to celebrate 25 years of bombing Iraq, right, Lou?
Yes, they did.
Tell me real quick about that.
Well, Dick Cheney said, if you'd have told me way back when we'd still be pounding the same targets, I would have thought you were crazy.
Okay, this is The Onion, but I thought it was real. It's like, it's five people. It's like George Bush, Dick Cheney, Barack Obama, Clinton, and... I forget.
The frequent flyers.
Yeah,
frequent flyers. Or the usual suspects, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
It would be funnier if like a million people hadn't died to make the joke. You know?
Yeah, that does.
Well, you can't make a joke without breaking a few eggs.
There is. If it wasn't for these tragedies of government, we probably wouldn't. What would we have to even talk about on the Freedom Fiends? So
Maserati repair.
Yeah. I think I'm going to send this half dog, half pig to Nathan the Ninja Squirrel, who's doing the editing on the show tonight, to use as the show. Yeah. All right. So
glad you like that.
First of all, there's an article in a Philadelphia paper about the problems of junkies scoring during snowpocalypses, which it's kind of
right.
You know, I actually have a little experience with that. I don't have it when I was a junkie 20 some years ago in San Francisco. I remember going, like, riding my bike 2 miles in a torrential rainstorm to score. But I also remember having people deliver to my house during a police state, during a martial law. They declared the riots, the Rodney King riots in L.A. People, the cops were afraid they were going to spread to San Francisco, so they declared martial law and declared a you know, anyone on the street will be arrested. But my heroin dealers would still show up and deliver, which I thought was pretty cool. But this article is written by someone named Jason Nark, N-A-R-K. I've never heard that last name.
This is from the Philadelphia Daily News, right?
Yeah, Philly.com. It's called Scoring in the Snow. And I will tweet this, and we'll put it in the show notes. But
dealers, this could be vital information for some of our listeners right now, struggling, to deal with the storm. So I think that's great
to go get through the white powder to get their white powder.
Well, it's really tough in Philly because, you know, this socialized snow removal is just basically just they don't even bother. Just like, yeah, right. We're not even going to do it. So people kind of do it themselves, and it gets packed into ice as people trample the snow that nobody shovels, and then it melts and refreezes and becomes like ice skating rinks on the sidewalks. And I mean, imagine if you're a junkie trying to score in this environment, and you're like sharing like maybe a trough in the road with cars all and then walking. It's just awful.
The poor junkies. Got a permit for that snow removal?
I'm looking forward to when heroin is legal and delivered by Amazon drones. That would be
Bitcoin.
You know, okay, we're gonna get into this article for Bitcoin about these cops who are like, we're cool and progressive because we've stopped shooting heroin addicts and now we arrest them and make them go into recovery. And I'm like, I guess that's better than shooting them, but like I said, as an ex addict, if cops had been the only way to get to recovery, I would have died. Like, I wouldn't have dealt with that. That's ridiculous. And they're not social workers. They're not something, you know, this could be done in the free market. It is done in the free market, man. And NA meeting,
workers.
You know, you put a buck in the coffee pot if you have it, but for the coffee, for the basket. But it's like, you know, NA is free pretty much. And people get clean just going through that. Sometimes they need to go into somewhere for a few weeks to kick without being able to score. I actually kicked a really bad heroin addict in my apartment with guys ringing my bell and offering me free dope. Like dope sick and you want dope, the guys in San Francisco, we call them the flying monkeys, the Mexican guys that you page them and they come to your house. That's racist, but that's what they call them. So they will not front you dope. Like, no matter how sick you are and how much you promise and how much you got a check coming tomorrow, man. But if you don't call them for a week, they'll come by and give you a free $25 bag, literally. And they were offering.
It's all about maintaining the customer, right?
Even in this weather?
Even in this weather, yeah. So,
that's sweet.
So somebody want to read some of this article about the police are now in the business somewhere? Is this New Hampshire? Where is this? We accept you. Police pledge compassion instead of force to help people suffering from addiction. Is this New Hampshire?
The Philly article?
I think it's no. This was Connecticut. I think it's Gloucester, Connecticut.
Gloucester.
Okay, the police department
back
update.
Back off, breather. Yeah.
Stop breathing.
I'm a mouth breather. You know, that's a saying for people that are like, you know, retarded. But I'm literally a mouth breather. I've discovered this from my sleep studies to apnea. Yep. Now we're going to a break.
It's okay.
Okay, we're gonna go sell some white powder in the free market for Bitcoin, and we'll be back.
Yeah, I want to evaluate this Facebook post from the Gloucester Police Department when we come back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends.
So the cops are going to help drug addicts now?
Well, so yeah. So I'm reading this Facebook post from the Gloucester Police Department in Massachusetts. Okay. And this guy, this chief, Chief Campanello, he thinks he's like being super nice because he's evidently been trying to reach out to addicts. And you know what? Within this guy's framework, he may actually like really care and like really want to like help addicts in need. So I'm not going to necessarily question his motive, but this guy is just such. So he's basically saying, hey, we're going to help you guys. And hey, get this. It's so big of us. We're not going to kidnap you automatically. See, we're so magnanimous. We're not going to kick your door in and beat you with our sticks. You know,
first few times.
Right. So, you know, this time we're here to help, not ruin your life. And, you know, so
they also still want to go hard after dealers. And I think that's really, really wrong. You know, I mean, I think hard drug dealers tend to be more criminally minded and tend towards violence more than weed dealers, but not always true. And that's a function of the illegality of it. In a free market where it's legal, that wouldn't be a problem. But you know, it's like who's the writer?
Serious.
Who's the writer that wrote the Las Vegas book, the drug book? Killed himself.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, who is that guy?
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, like when he ran for sheriff in his county, he had the most like, you know, he was a gun guy and he was a drug guy and he seemed kind of libertarian, but his platform was insane. Like one of his platforms was completely legalizing all drugs in his county and making it the death penalty to sell drugs in his county. Like what the heck? Like first of all, how is anyone going to get
weird? Him? Hey, let me read you some of this guy's language, though, which I think is very telling. OK, he says,
yeah,
the Gloucester Police Department, myself included. Now, this is the, you know, so, you know, magnanimous, will accept no further reward or recognition until every person in this country that suffers from addiction has immediate access to sustainable care. And now here's where he like shows his true colors again. And we've wiped the ground with every scumbag POS dealer that's only sells for profit. We see you leeches on human life, and you'll pay in this life or the next. Okay,
that's the black tar like, hair calling the hair the pot.
Boy. Wow.
I just picture him going like full Trump at the end of this. He's like, you'll pay, you losers. Like,
did you know Trump recently said, I could shoot somebody and not lose any voters? That is like the politician showing its true.
Well, especially if he shot a brown person. I think that would
the cops he
would I think
day.
That would just that would clinch his nomination for the GOP. But the threats from this cop go on, okay? And this is it's kind of interesting too because in it he's here to say, you know, oh, you treatment providers, thank you for helping us. And this insurance company, congrats on helping us. Law enforcement partners, you continue to amaze. Oh, he's just, oh, he's stunned at their how amazing they are. Legislators, thank you for moving fast to introduce bills, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is the weird one, though. Prescribers, comma, pharma, we are waiting and our patience grows thin. Do you want to be a real conduit to treatment and care, or do you want to be a dealer? Guess which one law enforcement wants you to be, but we'll deal effectively with either.
Wait,
your
he's going
choice.
After big pharma in this rant?
Yeah, and then somehow. Doctors who
what is he even talking about?
He's talking about the doctors who prescribe drugs. He's talking about the people who prescribe them. Yeah.
Did you know that in states that have legalized marijuana, overdoses on opiate pills has already gone down like 50%? Because people are just smoking pot instead to get high and to get pain relief. Like immediately, like really quickly, the stats have gone down on ODs.
Well, I mean, if this guy was really concerned about addicts, first of all, he wouldn't work for an organization that has made victims of them and thinks that treatment for an addict is throwing them on a cold jail cell and just, you know, letting them, you know, deal with it. You know, gee, wow, this with this history of compassion. Wow.
So compassion. Wow.
Yeah, man, it's ridiculous.
Just thugs. You know what? And I'll bet you they're going to do anybody they get it that's dumb enough to come in, they're just going to be like, yeah, who's your dealer? Like, you know, they are, right?
Yeah.
You know it. Yeah. You know it.
I'm reading this with the thickest Boston accent ever, too.
Who you dealer?
I can't do it, but James probably can. He's from New York.
Have some complimentary coffee.
In this life or the next.
Yeah, yeah.
We know what to do with you guys.
You will pay.
I did not have sex with that prostitute.
But you know what? Supposedly, this is the sincere post of this heartfelt post from a cop who's just trying to do great work in the world and help these poor lowlife addicts, right? And he's getting all this attention, like, oh, you see, there are good cops. This is so wonderful. I'm reading this as like, you can't even offer a hand to help somebody without making death threats, okay?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Seriously, guys, give it up.
The death threat.
Quit your job.
That are really wrong and judgmental. He says something to the effect of like, there's, you know, people blame ODs on a bad batch. And he says, you know, that's not true. There's no such thing as good heroin. And I'm like, yeah, there is, you know, I've done drugs in 21 years, but there's some heroin is better than others. Some heroin is poison. Some heroin is bunk. Some heroin is really, 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 really strong. And if you're careful, it won't kill you if you know what you're doing, especially if it were legal and you could know the exact percentage, you know, of what you're getting.
Well, that's the real tragedy here is if anybody really cares about addicts and people recovering from addiction, maybe let's consider, you know, just eliminating the entire war on drugs, letting these people get the help they need, letting them, you know, I wouldn't want my kids to do heroin. But, you know, I certainly want people that are going to do it to at least be able to get the dosage correct, to understand what they're doing.
I'll tell you how good some heroin can be.
Wait. It's not fun if you remove vengeance from the equation, okay?
Yeah. There's got to be something we can stamp out in this life or the next.
The next.
Five-year notice.
I'm going to chase you beyond the grave.
I'll tell you how good some heroin can be.
Ghostbuster.
I had a friend who came home and found his roommate dead with a syringe hanging out of his arm with, like, bloody heroin in it. Like, it was so strong that the guy had shot like a quarter of the syringe and died before he could get the needle out. My roommate was like, must be good dope, pulled it out and shot a little bit of it in his arm and got high as heck.
Oh,
that's just good. So times. Wrong.
Good,
you know?
Times. Yeah.
Rough. Brutal.
You know, there's a guy in prison in Wyoming serving a life sentence without parole for selling heroin to somebody who took too much and died. And the reason they punished him so severely was the guy who died was a rodeo star. He was like, you know, everyone in Wyoming loved him.
Well, that's legit, you know, come on, rodeo star.
Yeah.
I mean,
if it'd been some white trash, trailer trash, they wouldn't have cared. They would have still thrown him in jail for a few years, but, you know, not life, not LWAP, life without patrol, life without patrol. That'd be good. I like it. That's what we need. That's the title.
Nice.
Life without patrol. You know, there's a term for really severe, I heard for really severe jail prison sentences, life plus cancer. You ever heard that one?
No.
What?
Plus cancer. It's an analogy for like really severe prison sentences. Life plus cancer.
Well.
You know, as the guy said in Breaking Bad, I'm going to bury you under the prison. Yeah. That one. Ooh. Yeah.
Too real.
Yeah. Getting too real here.
It's getting intense.
So anyway, to the Gloucester police, hey, you really want to help? Quit your job, okay? You're working for a criminal gang that just, you know, don't tell me you're going to be compassionate to addicts, right? That's like a hammer being compassionate to nails. Forget about it.
Yeah, that's true. It's true, man. True.
Get it.
Scary stuff.
So what's your solution? You complain a lot, but what would you do about drugs? Why do you hate America?
I can't say that on the radio.
Why do you guys hate America?
Do them only in the designated correct dosages.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'd only do the good ones. No. Yeah. No.
Or as they said, somebody in the Entourage movie, which you guys should see the Entourage movie. I saw it this week. I'm like, I admit it. I love Entourage. In the Entourage movie, they said the one guy like, I thought you gave up drugs. And he says, no, I just quit doing angry drugs.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Hey, did you guys hear about the... there's some good news. A kid got pulled out of school for saying for saying ISIS
I pledge allegiance
in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, I saw that.
This is like epic trolling the Pledge of Allegiance, right?
My God, yep. That kid is my hero.
15-year-old actually generated a call to Homeland Security.
Oh man. Well, now I feel bad for that kid. Now he's on the list for life. He can't ever joke about ISIS
the
again.
The awesome list. Come on.
The awesome list.
He's only 15, and he's already trolling Homeland Security, okay?
Oh, man. That's right.
In a stupid Pledge of Allegiance, which is even, makes it perfect, right? Like, if he happened to pledge allegiance to another organization that bombs innocent people, then that would have been unnoticed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he even denies the whole thing. They might have just completely fabricated this whole thing. Like nobody. I think he never admitted to anything, but they verified it. So I don't know.
Man, I wonder if his classmates routed him out.
Well, they were. Hey, you wanted me to make another call to Homeland Security? Tell me. Tell me who's in ISIS in the classroom now.
I'm not afraid to waterboard a 14-year-old.
Yeah, it could definitely happen.
Paddling to waterboarding in the public schools. It could happen. It could happen to you. It could happen here.
Yeah,
gotta watch out.
Anyway, so hey, kids, if you're listening, you want to get out of you. If you're standing there thinking, this pledge is dumb. Here's your answer: get out of class.
Say you pledge allegiance to MISIS, so
MISIS.
You say that you're not actually saying ISIS. Just add a letter. Bond. Add a letter in front of it.
Big gun MISIS.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
It is.
That's what's under a mushroom. Actually, it's not like the roots in a plant. It looks like it, but the mycelium is actually the main structure, and the mushroom above ground is just the fruit. It's a good way to describe it. Yep.
You can take little like supplements of it too. It's supposed to be
of what
mycelium for you. Mm-hmm. Mycelium, little things. Mm-hmm.
Mycelium. Yeah.
Sure. Just don't pick your own in the forest.
Oh right. Don't eat the mushrooms.
Yeah. No. Don't do it.
So. But
what do you guys want to talk about?
Cops? Hey, I never gave you the storm report.
Oh, right. People want to know.
Well, yeah, like, they said, it's going to be a big snow. And like, yeah, they always overhype it, But this time we got a couple feet of snow in Pennsylvania. And I guess a lot of the mid-Atlantic got hit, which, it's a couple feet of snow. It's, it's not that big of a deal until you get the government involved. Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
So, the Pennsylvania Turnpike, ended up being closed for almost 24 hours, People were stranded on the road for an entire day, because they couldn't, move people out of the way, or I don't know. Nobody told them there was going to snow.
Because government. You got to remember, this is the same organization, government, that has a monopoly on postage, on the postal service, on cheap postal. The postal service recently announced they're unlikely to be able to make their health and pension payments. That's huge and scary.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah.
Oh, but, so sad for those folks. That. Hey, but check this out.
I'll bail them out. Well,
so there's all these people are stranded for over 20 hours on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. A group of Catholic students got out. So they're all getting out and like hanging out. This group of Catholic students made like an altar out of snow, and they had a mass like off to the side of the highway. So they're having like religious ceremonies. They figured out they could get Domino's pizza delivered at an overpass.
Oh, nice.
So nice. Domino's at least was coming in, keeping these people alive.
They get arrested for that.
Wow.
Is there a freedom of pizza delivery law in Pennsylvania yet?
I'm sure charges were brought against Domino's for delivering on a non-residential, you know,
for saving a life, yeah, or 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Domino's should pave the roads.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's face it, Domino's figured out a way to get these folks some pizza, but the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission didn't know it was going to snow, I guess. You know, and then, you know, once, I guess, traffic stops, it's very, you can't, then the snow builds up between the cars and then everybody was stuck. So
I got to say something really quick from the last topic. This police organization is called the Police Assisted Addiction and Recovery Initiative. That sounds horrifying to me.
Wait, the police assisted.
It's a trap. I'm picturing the trap. General Akbar or.
yeah, Admiral Akbar. Yeah, it is, dude. It is a trap.
I don't know. Wouldn't it even make more sense to suggest that addicts get help from postal workers, right? That are struggling to earn their pensions, right? Let's suddenly. You know, Bernie Sanders wants to put banking services for government banking services in post offices. Did you know that?
That's his plan. In England, the internet is controlled by the same organization of the government that controls the post office, and the phones, and you pay your phone bill and your internet bill at the post office. I've been in line in London to buy stamps, and there's another line there for people to pay their phone bill and internet bill. That's scary. And you just say,
make the check payable to the Queen.
The Queen. Yeah. Yeah.
Her Majesty. Blah, 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 blah. Cash it.
If you just put the Queen. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
So, how's the weather? How far are you from Philly, approximately?
20 miles, maybe. Not far.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
So anyway, so these poor folks, you know, dying, literally like a day out there on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. I freak out if I'm like just stuck in a light backup. Like,
I freak out if I'm in a light too long. But you don't want to drive with me. I'm looking.
I don't put bumper stickers on my car.
I'm looking at James's house right now.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Who's doing the intro?
This is the Freedom Fiends.
Trigger Weens.
Broadcasting through the Libertarian Free Education Center's Lower Iron Cannon High Top Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Please insert the purple wire into your cortex now.
Yes.
And be kind. Be kind and rewind. Do you guys know what that means? MK, do you know what that means?
Yeah, that's from old videotapes. When you have
VHS etiquette.
VHS, yeah, you had to... I remember.
Nick Hazelton didn't know what that meant. He's 17.
Of course not. You know what? He's going to learn because there is a super dank Bernie meme going around right now. That's like,
is it dank?
You know, what is he? He says something. He says, no more late fees or extra charges for not rewinding the VHS. That'll show those fat cats at Blockbuster.
I guess the point is Bernie's out of touch with everything. Yeah.
I don't know why that just struck me as being particularly amusing. Yeah, I don't know.
It's interesting that like dank memes are now going to be part of every political campaign going forward. Like if your dank meme game isn't strong, you're out.
You lose. You lose. And that's why I'm trying to get my friends who are so good at this to quickly form consulting companies for tactical meme deployment. Meme consulting. You know, forensic meme analysis, counter meming, false flag meming,
flag meming.
It's like you know, if you're not equipped for the new battlefield, you will lose. So
you will. This is what's going to cost Hillary the presidency.
The ages are getting
memes
shorter,
are very stale.
Shorter and closer together. You know, there was the Iron Bronze, the Stone Age, the Bronze Age, or the Iron Age, the Bronze Age, then just like 1,000 years of people killing each other for various religions, and then the Reformation, and then the Enlightenment, and then the Industrial Revolution, and then the Information Age, and then the Cyber Attack Age. And I think we are now entering the meme age of Enlightenment, you know, to where like governments will even be more concerned with the memes they generate than like, you know, putting the Stuxnet virus in the Iranian.
I think it's come full circle.
Memes are so bad. Oh, they're so lame.
But isn't it sort of like, I mean, like ancient Egypt, wasn't that sort of a meme based like political culture? They had hieroglyphs. They called them
kitty cats. Yeah,
hieroglyphs. Sure, right. Sure. Yeah. They had a lot of cat memes. They had.
Yeah, you know, governments do really tend to fail badly with memes. I mean, things like, you know, the New York City Police Department will start a Twitter channel and say like, hashtag, you know, take pictures of cops doing good and hashtag it, you know.
And it gets abused immediately.
Yeah, and right. It's like, you know, for every picture of a cop helping a homeless junkie out of a gutter, there's like 500 pictures of the NYPD beating someone to death. Yeah, it doesn't work.
They did it. They did it in Philly. It was like my Philly hashtag my Philly PD or something stupid like that.
So cringe-inducing. Yeah. Did you guys see the healthcare.gov one where they took the Doge meme? Doge meme that they used for Dogecoin and stuff.
Oh,
and
my
they were
God.
Like, oh, such healthcare, much coverage. Wow. Really?
Oh, my
so
God.
So lame. It's so bad. It's like, they killed that meme. It was barely holding on, but like, that was like the final.
The government is always fighting the last war, right? They're never equipped for the next war. They're always like armed to the teeth for the last war.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, literally.
But their memes couldn't save them.
If you want to take it to actual war, I mean, that's why, you know, people in the Middle East that are literally in a lot of ways, like literally still stuck in the Bronze Age, are not able to defeat the most powerful military in the world, but give them a run for their money to where like nobody ever wins, you know?
There you go.
And you think that has to do with their dank memes?
I think it has to do with like, you know, trying to fight lone wolves and small collections of people that are either defending their own property or defending some insane idea of religious interpretation, you know, who are willing to die for it, who don't care
from a fortified mountain position.
Yeah, from a fortified mountain position, you know, to where like, you know, drones and jet fighters don't really do any good.
Exactly.
Know? I mean, take it back to like the Soviet Union trying to defeat, you know, Afghanis in the mountains. Nobody's
the
won
graveyard
there for
of empires.
Years.
Remember?
Yeah. I mean, take it back to Alexander. Nobody's won there for thousand years.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you defend your memes like you're defending your mother, you can probably win against the most powerful meme based economy in the world.
Well, let me ask you this. What do I know what I usually say, but, you know, you guys probably get asked, like, eventually, like, well, you know, without the government, who's going to protect you from getting invaded? You know, like, we got to have the federal government, because without that, you know, the Chinese would be, you know, rolling tanks in here.
No, the Chinese have better things to do.
Yeah, you guys probably get that, right?
Yeah, I get a lot. I don't really put a lot of thought into answering that kind of stuff, which, you know, the person always thinks they won when you say that. But the thing is, there are so many people who are so much better at answering that than I am, that I'm the court jester. I'm the Freedom Fiends, I think, are the show that would happen after the government's out of the way, you know, and you just want to laugh at everything. That's I consider this kind of a comedy entertainment morning zoo, not morning zoo crew, but like kind of like, yeah, like The View for the people leaving the bar in Liberty, as Steve says. But I'm not the guy to answer that.
Goldberg.
You know, I mean, I hate to say
what
it.
I say,
Stefan Molyneux can answer that really well. I hate to send someone to him, but, you know, right. Rockwell can when he's not backing Trump. You know, there's a million people that can answer who would be.
Speaking of Whoopi and Trump, wait a minute. There's a nexus there of the.
You've been denounced by Whoopi by name.
No, well, of course, but Whoopi recently made headlines when she announced that if Trump wins, she's leaving the country.
Oh, I was just gonna finish that sentence for you and say, you know what though? People never do. People were gonna go to Canada if Bush won?
Yeah,
they never do.
They stuck around.
Yeah, it's not legally binding, right?
It's not worth it to have Trump if Whoopi leaves. It's just not worth it. I mean, I'm not as good as Whoopi either.
You know, as fun as that would be, like, yeah, fascism, and next thing you know, the mass graves and the roundups and the internment camps. It gets old.
I'll take Sister Act 4.
Speaking of military contractors and EGOTing, there's a on 30 Rock. There's a you know, it's NBC's owned by GE, and there's a scene in there where there's a telethon, and there's a sign behind the telethon that says GE cares, which used to be their motto. It says GE cares, and then in small print in parentheses it says not legally binding.
There was this billboard back in Pensacola out of his drive past, and it was for this law team, and it was like, oh yeah, you know, come, we give you our priority client promise was in quotation marks. What does that mean? Yeah, it's like,
you know,
right?
It's not accidental, like when the police car says to quote protect unquote and serve in quotes, like
in quotes, you know, yeah. Right.
It's intentional if it's a law firm doing it.
I don't know that it is. There were a lot of typos on billboards down there. I think they didn't realize that they weren't supposed to use quotation marks for emphasis.
I know.
Common grammar mistake.
Mark is back on Free Talk Live. I'm kind of happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that. I saw him in San Diego recently.
I saw a picture of you and him hugging.
Yeah. He came to the Bitcoin meetup. He was out there with his family checking out a bunch of cool stuff. And he stopped by the meetup. So,
cool.
Seemed to be having a good time. So.
Well, I'm assuming he wants to be back, so then I'm happy for him that he's back. But if he went on to do something even bigger and better, I'd be fine with that too. So
I would not be fine with that, because Free Talk Live is better with him.
Yeah, but who knows, you know, the seen and the unseen. Like, he could be the
he might get cancer and go back in time and kill baby Hitler.
Yeah. Let's start spreading the rumors that like people are talking like he's gonna be replacing Bill O'Reilly. Yeah, you didn't hear that rumor?
Yeah, wants to do that. I think that's Cantwell's plan.
I think he wants to replace Rush Limbaugh.
Ah, there you go. That's some big shoes. That's some big narcoticized shoes to fill, man.
Well, you build up your tolerance to the drugs gradually, and then because you're in it for the long haul with a job like that.
Okay.
Right.
Codeine. Michael Codeine. Yeah. All right. So, you guys want to talk about Bitcoin being dead?
Yeah. I like what Lou had to say about this. Bitcoin has died more times than Kenny from South Park.
I know.
I love that. Yeah, so Bitcoin died last week.
Again.
Again. So, we should probably talk about that. So, what happened is this core developer named Mike Hearn ended up quitting, and he wrote this Medium post outlining all of the reasons why he's quitting and some of the problems he sees Bitcoin facing. And then he does this really kind of, I wouldn't even call it passive aggressive. I would call it actively aggressive thing of declaring that he's sold all of his Bitcoins and, you know, boom, like I'm done with this. I quit. I'm selling it you. And he would have had quite a bit. But also this kind of news, because it's a very volatile market, will send the price into a frenzy sometimes. And the headlines didn't help. Oh, Bitcoin's dying, Bitcoin's dead. So it had a bit of an effect on the price, but Bitcoin rebounded for the most part. And
Who has enough Bitcoin that's stupid enough to believe a Bitcoin is dead article to sell enough Bitcoin to affect negatively, to drop the price? Who is that? Is that like the guys that think they...
The FBI.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Is it the Winklevi?
It could, I mean, it could be a lot of things. You know, also, we know that's just stolen after the holidays. The most Bitcoin.
Wait a minute. Who's stolen the most Bitcoin?
Yeah, whoever at Mount Gox or the FBI. Yeah.
But that
Mount
probably Gox was the FBI, too. Wasn't it?
It could probably. I wouldn't be surprised. I have no idea.
But they stole it from the Silk Road, I know that, and sold it. And that's another one of my arguments that I'm giving my friend, who's a politician in Wyoming, to give the legislators is, you know, if they say like, oh, Bitcoin's dangerous, isn't it? And I told them to say, look, when the FBI seized a bunch of Bitcoin, they sold it at auction. They don't sell cocaine at auction. They don't sell machine guns at auction. You know, the FBI thinks it's.
I think they do. So
I know they probably do, but you know,
of course they do.
That's not publicly,
but it's a private auction. It's a difference between private and public auction.
That's the answer to give people who love cops and make laws.
There you go.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Hi, it's Freedom Fiends. Someone's working on a Freedom Fiends app for Android. I think that's pretty cool.
And it's going to do everything. It's going to do everything. Right,
it's going to control drones. It's going to have encrypted mind control to keep the state away. It's going to tell you where the good heroin is. It's going
with turn by turn hands free directions.
Yeah. Well, it'll just fly. Like your Android device will fly and bring you.
Well, listen. Now I think you're getting a little unrealistic. I'm just looking for. I want to be able to fly a drone. I want to be able to do encrypted communications to other Fiend fans. I want to be able to listen to the Freedom Fiends. I want to.
To be able to have
a Bitcoin wallet built in.
I want it to form an intelligent cloud of micro-sized machines that'll surround me with an iron dome that protects me from the government.
Well, I also wanted to videotape police automatically.
Yeah, there you go.
And live stream it. So, live streaming video is going to be important.
Nice.
All right. So we're talking about Bitcoin. There's this article. I do want to say Barack Obama is a liar. A socialist and his feet stink. But we're reading this article. The decline of Bitcoin shows you can't engineer past government. You guys have this up? So
yes,
let's see. Let's find some of the errors in this article. People are abandoning Bitcoin in droves. Not true. The reason is simple. Poor governance. It shows that one cannot engineer one's way past politics.
Boy, that's really sad, right? Like, you're stuck with it. You're going to forget about thinking up a way around government. We've got you.
I know.
Right. Yeah.
That's like, don't even think about escape. These chains will have never been broken.
5-year notice.
That wall is 20 feet tall, and you will never find a way to climb it. And there's sharks in the moat.
Okay.
He said it's Bitcoin's- like one of those things. It's such an exaggeration. So there are issues. There are people who are disagreeing, and it's hard to reach consensus about what needs to be done to update the protocol. And there are serious issues that Bitcoin's facing, but it's not.
Well, let's take a moment there.
Now that my turn's gone.
MK, can we back up for a second and just, for people that don't live this, there was a controversy. Maybe can you just briefly explain what the
I think you should go one level up in the taxonomy and say what Bitcoin is. There might be people listening that don't know.
Right, right. So Bitcoin is a digital currency that is also a payment system. So you can use the payment system to send the currency anywhere in the world for a very small transaction fee. It's less than 1% right now.
It's kind of like emailing gold. That's
yes,
how I told my 90-year-old
it's emailing money. And yeah. It's really innovative, and it's kind of changing the way we think about money and how easily it can be transmitted across the world. So there's a lot of potential with it. There's a lot that you can do with it already right now. And what it's running into as a problem is the network is having a hard time managing the amount of transactions.
Okay, now how did that manifest itself, this problem? Because, like, I never had a transaction not go through or something, or where was this? Who was experiencing this backlog?
I had one take 5 days recently on an old wallet of mine. It was an old version of Multibit. I've got the new version on another computer. It works great. The old version, somebody sent me $5 worth of Bitcoin on it. It took 5 days to fully be spendable in the wallet, and then it took 5 days to send to another wallet.
MK, is that the kind of thing that's going on out there?
So what is happening with some transactions is if you are not giving the miners an adequate fee, then it's going to take longer to confirm. Another issue is, right now, the blocks, which are the basically that's where the Bitcoin are kept. It's a small block size. Some people are saying it's not enough to handle more transactions. For example, if more people join the network, the network may not be able to support the transaction volume because it's not able to process as many as some of the larger companies like Visa and MasterCard. Like credit card companies.
Okay, so there's basically like there's a technical challenge that associated with growth, where they're saying like, look, to manage this growth, we need to make some type of change, right? Yes. And somebody said, hey, let's change it this way. Somebody else said, no, let's change it the other way.
There are a few different proposals.
Kind of the gist of it.
Mm-hmm. So what happened is a few months ago, the person who quit, Mike Hearn, the developer, he rolled out a solution that he called Bitcoin XT, and people were very unhappy with it. They thought it was kind of hastily rolled out, and they didn't.
When you say
quit,
he quit. What did he quit?
He quit working. Yeah, he quit working on the developer team.
Okay.
So he was mad that people didn't jump onto Bitcoin XT and kind of quit over it.
So he now has another cryptocurrency out there called Bitcoin XT.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
There used to be a Bipcot licensed Bitcoin called Bitcoin.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
I say that so we stop talking about what we're talking about because we can't say that on the radio.
Nope.
We can't say that.
Signal.
We
can't say that one of the functions of the Fiend for an Android app is going to be you can play a video game where you are Libertarian ISIS.
Yeah.
That's so wrong.
Libertarian ISIS. Lysis.
All right.
Right, and it's also going to be at FiendFest Somalia. One of the excursion optional excursions you can sign up for is going to be the ride along with ISIS. So,
come on, man, James is going to get me droned. How about just a ride along with an unaffiliated Somali pirate? How's that?
Well, right, that's called right. It's, I think they call that like water skiing. You know, like so. Totally fine with that.
All right, so we're reading this article from The Week
about Bitcoin. Oh, gosh, it's so bad.
This Bitcoin hater article, it's so wrong. The first thing that's wrong with this article is the picture at the top. This is something everyone who's stupid and writes about Bitcoin does. It's a picture of a bunch of tokens, metal tokens look like coins with the Bitcoin symbol on them. That ain't what Bitcoin is.
Right, it's a digital currency, and what he's showing, it looks like they're Cassatius coins, which they were a physical representation wallet of a digital currency.
They're pretty cool, though.
So you could peel it off, and you could have a few of those. The digital currency. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they're worth more than just regular Bitcoin. So it's pretty cool.
It's got
cool.
numismatic value on top of the Bitcoin.
Numismatic value.
So this right. Okay. So this article, take one of these paragraphs and just like I don't even know where to start. It's just a train wreck.
So one of the claims he makes is the Bitcoin system has all but seized up. Which reading this article, you'd think that you couldn't buy and sell and spend Bitcoin at all anymore, but that's not true. It's working just fine. I've sold some Bitcoin today. I've sent some Bitcoin all through the weekend. All since Bitcoin has been dead, I've been sending Bitcoin.
Hey,
you know,
I bought my 23andMe. I said last week on the show I wanted some fans to donate to help me get a 23andMe test, and one guy did immediately and did it Bitcoin, and I had somebody cash it into cash for me to PayPal, and I ordered it. It all happened, you know, within 20 minutes of the one part to it being ordered. So
just so we can find out what is going on with your DNA, right? Like somebody needs to.
Somebody's got to
figure out.
I got to figure it out.
Android chimera or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to find out.
Maybe DNA analysis should also be something that the FiendPhone app does.
There you go. Well, I mean, I do want to know my ethnic derivation. I'm curious. I don't really put much weight or pride.
All right, back to this article. This is good stuff here.
All right.
Okay.
He says it's anonymous.
Oh, gosh.
It's not completely anonymous. And actually, that's one of the things I suggested to this state rep. When they bring up, but can it be used for anonymously buying drugs?
Right. It says it's totally anonymous.
He should tell them, no, it's less anonymous and more traceable than $100 bills, because it literally is.
Yeah, it is.
There's a ledger.
I can't help but read this article in the college know-it-all hippie voice. Like, make no mistake, this was a truly genius idea, and as actual experts tell me, a brilliant piece of programming and mathematics. Like, he's so smug. Oh, it's obnoxious, but he's just wrong.
Juvenile.
It's really like, and he. So further down, he talks about Ross Ulbricht misspelling his name the entire time. Because
Ross
Ulbricht. Needs to, like,
I don't know who he's talking about. Ross Ulbricht.
But
this guy wrote a pro Bernie Sanders article. This guy's pro Bernie Sanders.
Now it's all coming together. But let me just read that one paragraph. The basic problem with somehow this is an article about the Silk Road. I don't even know why the Silk Road is in this article about why Bitcoin is dead, other than Bitcoin was used on the Silk Road and the government stole a lot of Bitcoin from people that ran the Silk Road. And anyway, but it says the basic problem with Silk Road was cheating. Without some sort of system of regulatory authority, theft and fraud were a chronic problem, forcing the site's operator, Ross Ulbricht, to invent increasingly elaborate regulatory systems. He ended up recreating a much more coercive government in miniature.
No, he didn't.
What?
So what happened with the Silk Road? It gets a bad rap when really it was a pretty brilliant way to, find certain things that certain people don't want you to have. And it was set up to where it was
operating
very hard
on
to
the
cheat.
Dark on the dark web outside the reach of normal government activity. So
yes. But what happened? What ended up causing the you know, downfall of the Silk Road was the FBI infiltrating it and basically extorting people, stealing money, setting Ross up on these murder for hire charges, kidnapping, faking one of the operators' deaths. They were able to find one of the admins. They kidnapped him, you know, and he squealed. He basically ratted everyone else out. And then they entrapped Ross into hiring a hitman who was also another FBI agent, and they faked the guy's death.
Did they do all of this? Because there was, really, first of all, you have to understand that there was like hundreds of millions of dollars for them salivating over, thinking like, whatever I'm going to do is going to get me this money. And they just went for it.
I really need to clarify something MK just said, because it came out sounding like you were calling him an attempted murderer. I don't think you were. He didn't even think he was hiring. There's no proof that he thought he was hiring a hitman. That could have been entirely faked by the FBI.
It could have, but yeah, the log, there is some belief that even the chat logs were tampered with. The FBI completely set him up.
From the FBI that's going to prison for stealing all the Bitcoin.
Yeah, two FBI agents are going to prison
for stealing. So I don't believe that Ross Ulbricht did any attempted hiring of a hitman.
Right. Let's look at the FBI's, you're questioning the FBI's integrity. Look at that. Right. Let's just roll back and look at this integrity over the past generation.
You mean the guys who supposedly had the correspondence with him, who are so corrupt that the FBI threw him in prison? That guy?
Right. Yeah. Well, we just had Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
The same FBI that tried to kill himself. Yeah, that tried to extort Martin Luther King Jr. into committing suicide.
I like MK all day better.
Yeah,
me too.
I like MK all too, but I'm okay.
Anyway, the same FBI that has caused such mayhem, that infiltrated peace organizations and women's rights organizations and black rights organizations, and like has just completely had murdered people in their beds, assassinated people, framed people, lied, cheated, stolen year after year after year. And we're supposed to say, well, this time is probably all above board. And we've only had to prosecute a few of them. We've only had to take a few of these investigators and prosecute them for getting too greedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and their names were Bridges and Force, by the way, which like make for like the most evil cop sounding
Max Force
thing ever.
Was it
like,
Max Force?
It was Carl Bridges Force.
Had been named
Carl Force.
Rhodes, Carl but you know, Bridges are part of the road system, so really it's Force and Rhodes.
Rhodes, yeah.
Were their names?
This is like Bizarro Die Hard cops.
I know, Force. It really does Bridges sound like, you know, like Eddie Murphy in 48 Hours 3, you know, where his partner is like Busey or something, but Busey's Sergeant Force. Yeah. I'd watch that.
I'd watch that,
On the torrents through Tor. You know, I'm still wondering how they busted Ulbricht, because I still believe that it wasn't through a hole in Tor. I think it was something like either they busted.
Ratted. It was, another no, they were ad. Ratting.
Yeah.
Curtis Green did give It'd information.
Be, you know,
and
it would be hard to be Ross Ulbricht or Satoshi. I couldn't keep quiet. I'd tell my 10 best friends, wouldn't you? You know?
If you'd actually mention it on the radio show.
You would actually do a show about it.
I think I've claimed to be both of those people on this radio show.
You would give it its own hashtag. And,
I'm Satoshi, damn it. Yeah. Yeah.
You'd have like 3 Twitter parody accounts.
Well, somebody recently claimed to be Satoshi and ended up getting raided by the Australian IRS. So there.
Well, so he didn't claim to be Satoshi, but it seemed like he may have kind of hinted at it. And this is a person. At that panel. No.
Oh,
Craig Wright.
You were at that? Okay.
I was at that event with that panel. Wow. My friend organized it. My friend Michelle. Michelle Seven. Yeah, she used to host Free Talk Live.
You know her.
So she set the panel up, and it was interesting. Nick Szabo was on that panel, and a lot of Bitcoin luminaries. And then Craig Wright was kind of the odd one out. Like he's obviously an accomplished person, but no one really knew who he was. And I think there might have been some you know, implying that he might have been Satoshi or something.
Well, you know, this is like, you know how people used to, that you say you're going to SWAT somebody, you call an FBI raid on your friend just to as a prank. So now the new prank is you call the government and you say, I know who Satoshi Nakamoto is.
Or you just say,
and he gets all of, and they get all of their bank accounts immediately seized.
Or the Russian mafia would just kidnap their kids or something, you know?
Right. Well, this was, I actually wrote an article about this, and I went after the journalists because I was like, what you're doing is irresponsible journalism, because whether he's Satoshi or not, what you're doing is you're saying, hey, this guy is sitting on 2.1 million Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
enough incentive. Whether you're the government or the mafia.
Exactly.
Or just some dudes. I mean, recently there was a guy who won $500,000 in the lottery, and he was home invaded and killed. Do you hear about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to win the lottery.
You wouldn't?
I would. I don't buy tickets, but I'd love to just win.
I mean, I'd like to win the money, but I wouldn't. I don't know that I'd want to deal with the crazy people.
Oh, you could afford to deal with them.
Yeah.
Depending on how much I won.
I make the moat deeper. Yeah.
I'd hire some of Cheney's private army if I won the lottery.
I'd hire Cheney.
I'd just be gone. I would be like, you don't even know where my address is anymore. I'm gone. Let us disappear.
I'd hire Trump. I'd make him work for me.
Ew.
What?
You know, I really like what Lou said. It's worth repeating. If it weren't for corporate welfare, Trump would probably be on regular welfare.
Oh, probably.
All right. So more about this Bitcoin article. Let's see.
So yeah, it's just full of
its primary use is criminals. That's not true. I mean, major corporations Microsoft, Dell, Overstock, a lot of big companies take it. It's legit.
You can buy gift cards through our app. I mean, Starbucks and Target. What are people who drink?
You want to give a shout out?
Airbits. Yeah. So I'm the community manager at Airbits, and we just added a 20% discounted gift cards for Starbucks and about 6% for Target. So if you're a coffee drinker who buys crap at Target, I'm sure you're real criminally minded and you're totally using Bitcoin for nefarious purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Right, you could probably even use it to go see Sister Act 4, right?
Coffee's a hell of a drug.
So, yeah, it only supports a little bit of terrorism. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Say whore on the radio. It's 4 a.m.
Demeaning, though. Yeah. I really don't think that you should associate honest, hardworking folk with welfare.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't use whore because I thought it would be insulting to compare them to people.
We call them entrepreneurs. Thank you, entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Hardworking women. Yeah, and men. Phrase, hardworking men.
The phrase "welfare queen." That's what you used, right? Libertarian welfare queens.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you know that phrase is racist and Ronald Reagan made it up?
Oh, well. You mean the older welfare queen thing? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He made a caricature of the welfare queen to demonize
the black woman with all the kids. Woman. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
No, I he used it ironically it up, because libertarians used it as an insult to everyone else, I guess.
So you want to, since I was a libertarian welfare queen last week and asked for $200 to get a 23andMe kit to test my alien DNA, you want to do that too, and we're fine with it. So go ahead and make your case. I think you and I are siblings, and we'll find that out.
I feel like we're born of the same bloodline, and I've been wanting this test
right after
for
those
years.
Awkward moments between Luke and Leia. Now you're gonna find out that you're brother and sister.
Luke and Leia. I don't know what that is.
Whoa.
Is that a Star Trek
thing? Skywalker, Princess Leia.
Right. Never okay. Mind. Star Wars.
But yeah, everyone is 23 and Me test for
you. Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. But I want to know because, you know, I want to know if I have as much Native American Indian in me as Elizabeth Warren does. And other things, how much Neanderthal I am. I need
Cherokee?
To know. I need to know these things for health reasons. So yeah, you know, if you feel like pitching into the fun,
you can self-identify whatever DNA you want to have. Okay, right. So just because it comes back in this test doesn't mean you can. If you want to be Native American, you can self-identify that, and you can just do it. Who are they to tell you like how you identify? Right.
I don't know, man.
Well, I've said this before. I mean, you guys know I identify as a black man, so
I'm going to be tweeting the actual results minutes after I get it. You know me, and it's not necessarily that I have integrity. It's just I have compulsive disclosure.
I promise to share. I promise to share how much of a Neanderthal I am.
Yeah.
So I'm very.
You may qualify for Neanderthal reparations from Homo sapiens.
I want a slice of that pie.
No, seriously, I'm still mad about that, right? Like, you know, like they it was a near genocide of my people, and I feel like...
Well, there's a theory that they weren't killed off, that they were absorbed by mating, and there's actually a theory that the language function came from the Neanderthals, not from the Homo sapiens.
Well, you know, right, like not I've like Columbus that. Didn't kill every single person that he came across. Some survived and were, like, absorbed into the gene pool, but
Neanderthals through, you were know, tasty, like, man.
And yeah, and yeah, they definitely absorb that genetic ribs. Material. No,
I feel like I'm related to some of the fiends. I feel like it.
You know, I was thinking today, like at some point, someone's going to call us, you know, a white old boy network, old boy, you know, we're all white. But actually, we do have someone who is absolutely like half Native American. It's Chandler.
Chandler, I was about to say, isn't Chandler?
You tell by looking at him, man. He looks like, hi, I'm Jimmy Carl Black, and I'm the Indian of the group. You know, like the old Zappa.
Well, thing. And on top of that, he has a French name. So, you know.
Saint-Pierre, French Canadian. Yeah. And he lives in Maine. He could probably hit French Canadians with a rock.
Well, that was property. That's a former French colony right there. So
Yeah.
It could, you know, it could have easily been part of Canada. So
there's more native French speakers in Maine than any other state in America.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
I'm French Canadian.
I'm French Canadian too. Yeah.
Why do the French hate French Canadians? I've never really understood that.
Because they look at French Canadians the way that New Yorkers look at people from Mississippi. Like, yeah, we're sort of the same, but I'm better than you.
There's roots to the language, but you're destroying it, and I hate you.
And it's the language and the DNA, and other than that, I mean, you know, French Canadians don't have ballet, they don't have a history of painting or literature. Well, they do, but it's not one that's, like, put in museums in, you know, all over the world.
Well, I'd like to know how much snooty French ancestry I have.
Okay, so we're going to put your Bitcoin address in the show notes tonight. So if anyone wants to make a specific donation towards this $200 for MK to get a 23andMe kit, you can do it. And
I'll post a picture of myself spitting into the tube for you.
Okay.
Whoa. That's going to get
hits. Yeah, all right. All the likes.
And someone will make it spitting on Catwell.
Someone will do something terrible with it, I'm sure. Yep. You're welcome, Internet.
Hashtag MKDNA. Hashtag MWD Neanderthal DNA.
Reparations.
All right.
And Bitcoin's not dead.